All right, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. Don't forget Ken Korak, the voice of the A's, in 60 Minutes at 5:05. We'll check in with him on what he thinks for the Oakland A's this season as they open up at home against the Angels, and we'll have that for you right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. In just a moment, we'll have the coach of the Kings on, Dave Yeager, and your phone calls always welcome at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Tomorrow, the Mavs are in town, and I saw that Dirk Nowitzki strained his Achilles in that game. Boy, I would be really bummed out if he doesn't play. I love watching Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, I will tell you. You know, because you got to know, Grant, that it's starting to count down. You know, like, when is the last time you're going to get a good look at Dirk? And he has been playing some good basketball.
Dirk.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, and I've never met him, but truly one of my favorite NBA players of all time to watch.
Oh, yeah. Him and Nash, if they would have never traded Nash,
they would have had a couple championships.
They probably would have had a couple, yeah. That was a really, really bad decision. It's 4:05, time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento, 2017 spring blowout sale, hottubsofsacramento.com.
All right, it is time for the Dave Yeager Show, brought to you by Petkus Brothers. Dave, how are you today?
I am doing very well, sir. How are you?
Doing well. And again, end of the season, you look for olive branches, you look for things to hang on to. And I've been doing this a long time. I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of teams, you know, mail it in and go through the motions. And I love the way your team competes every night. I mean, I know as a coach, you know, you always demand that and expect that, but it doesn't always happen. I would imagine you're very proud with how your guys still go out and compete every night.
No, I appreciate that. We are very proud because, as you mentioned, of course, everybody wants it to be that way, but in the reality of doing this for years and years and years, as you know, that's not always the case. And is it 50% time or whatnot? I don't know. But for these young guys, you know, we're excited about our young guys. We're playing our young guys. They're playing hard. And they've come a long, long ways where Scal was in the summer, where Willie was in the summer, adding Buddy. He's gotten better while he's been here and happy to, you know, he got the Rookie of the Month. And I think that's fantastic. Papa's coming along, you know, so you know, we're playing the young guys, and we're going out and we're competing.
Coach, you talk about competing, competitive spirit, building a competitive culture, but just speak to the point of how happy your team is when they see a guy who works hard like Langston Galloway. The coaching staff works with him. Then he gets in and he does well. The guys are just super excited for guys like that.
They are, and I think, you know, you get some naughtiness or finger-pointing in cultures and systems where there's not great chemistry. And our chemistry is super equal. Guys get along and you pull for each other. And we've been resting guys on certain nights, which just helps out with my rotation. and so everybody's excited for that guy that gets that opportunity. And what he make his first six shots there against Minnesota was just fantastic.
Right. Dave, Willie Cauley-Stein, let's face it, it took him a couple of months to get going. And with the trade, he got increased playing time. And for, you know, the month of January, he wasn't rebounding well, got a couple more boards in February. But we ran a stat the other night where I think for the month of March, he averaged 8.4 rebounds. And the way he's playing lately, just to me, has grown leaps and bounds. He's getting rebounds out of his area. I know Bob Thornton has been working with him and challenging him on that. How do you assess where his game is at right now?
Well, I think he's comfortable. I think he's a confidence guy. And, you know, I think every athlete is about confidence, but even so more so for Willie. I think he had a terrific week. I played him a lot of minutes last week. That's a lot of banging. I think people just think of banging as, you know, throwing the low post and somebody bangs on one guy or the other. When you set a pick and you're Willie, or you're going to rim run, which is looking for lobs, we always only watch the ball, right? But what happens underneath there, those dudes get hit all the time. And it's a hit that you're going to get where you don't see it coming. And those are not fun. And so I'm really proud of him. He keeps attacking the glass. He's attacking the rim as a roller. Rebounding pretty well. I think he's making some nice passes. He looks like he's growing, and the game is going a little bit slower for him than it did earlier in the year.
You know, Coach, I'd like you to speak to – you just spoke to him, but Bob Thornton, I mean, just you allowing myself to be around and kind of get – I get to talk to him and get to hear, but he has the chance to work with Scal, Papa, and Willie, and just watching him communicate with those guys, just speak to the fact of the work that he's put in with the big guys.
He's been super – and we've been together a while. We've known each other, even going back to the month. Things I appreciated about Bob is – you know, he's a former player, and he went back, and you don't make a lot of money, and he was working his tail off in the CBA, and they always worked, had a good relationship with players, and with Ben, especially, because he can ask a guy, okay, I'm going to do this to you, and then they'll go through their low post, whatever, and he'll say, what did you feel? I can't do that. You know what I mean? I did not exactly play at that position, and certainly not at this level. And so that is extremely valuable for these guys. And, you know, we brought a guy like Brad Miller down today. Give him a different, hear a different voice, and guys that play the position and coach it and teach it, it's been super.
39,615 showing up at Target Field this afternoon to cheer on the first place Minnesota Twins. 7-1 over Kansas City. So you have you root for a team that's in first place there, Coach.
I will do that. I've not been to that field. It's fantastic. It's really small. It's tucked in there in downtown. And, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff going there. They got the Super Bowl next year and this and that. But what I have really come to realize this year, especially with the regionals here, that's a big deal. They had the regionals, NCAA regionals in Memphis. It's a big deal. And for us to put on our arena on display in our community and how the growth that's going on downtown and all around our community, it's fantastic. It's a fun time of year.
There's nothing like it. NCAA basketball coaches, I got a chance, you guys were on the road to go down, and Sacramento turned out in aces. Who you got tonight, Coach?
Who's playing?
Real funny. Real funny. I know you're tuning in, baby. Come on. You're a lifer.
Whoever they just played, and, you know, well, it's hard to, you know, Gonzaga's got a lot of fun. But, you know, the kind of players that UNC brings in year in, year out of, you know, all the McDonald's All-Americans is interesting because they're maybe a younger group. Perhaps maybe more individually talented at places, but that's what you love about the tournament, where you get a group of guys that's been together for a couple of years and go out there, and I couldn't be happier for Gonzaga as well.
Here we go, coming down the stretch, a home game tomorrow against Dallas. We keep on seeing the familiar pattern of, you know, you changing who's playing, who's not. I would assume that will continue here down the stretch.
Yeah. Aaron got beat up pretty bad. Wiggins is a tough cover, man.
Oh boy!
He banged on him, and he took a hit, and, you know, he hadn't played for a week, so he's hurting pretty good. He'll be out tomorrow. At this point, you know, I'll have Costa and Anthony Tolliver tomorrow will be out, and want to increase the minutes even more so for Scal and for Papa, without taking away anything from Willie's minutes. So just try to play those three, even if a team plays small ball at this point. It's more valuable for us that those guys get that experience. And so, you know, I've played Buddy a ton of minutes, and I'll continue to do that. And, you know, but each guy has something to play for in addition to building something for the future here. I mean, you've got guys in Tyreek, Ty Lawson, Darren Collison. Those guys are in contract years. They want to prove in different situations, hey, I'm back. My game is back to where it was. Ty had 18 and 11 in 25 minutes the other night. It was unbelievable. Tyreek wants to show, or I would believe, that hey, he's healthy for 82 games, et cetera, et cetera. Darren as a starting point guard from wire to wire, and those kinds of things. So, you know, a lot of guys have things to play for, but they're doing it in the team, the frame of the team, which is most important.
Coach, you mentioned Buddy Hield, and Grant mentioned it earlier, Rookie of the Month. What have you seen? Because early it seemed like, you know, maybe it was a pace of the game, whatever. He was turning the ball over. It seems like he's starting to maybe slow down for him. What are you seeing out of Buddy in the late improvement as of late?
I think with the ball, he's not trying to make a play every time. You know, and I think when that ball gets moving, he and our team are the beneficiaries of that because he is a great shooter, great shooter. So, if you know, he doesn't have to play in a crowd. Boy, get off it, boom, boom, and then all of a sudden it comes back. So he made a terrific play in transition the other night in Minnesota, came down and didn't shoot the three in transition. In fact, he drove it. Ty gets the closeout, bang, bang, bang. All of a sudden, next time down, the ball pops around and it ends up back in his hands. He hits a three. So those things are getting better for him. And then, you know, maybe we're learning how to use him and put him in places to be successful.
Yeah.
And he's also learning the system. So all of those things come together offensively. Defensively, you know, it's just learning the tricks of the trade, when you need to body up a guy so you can go under, when you need to beat him to a spot, you know, when to help when you don't need to stunt at a non-shooter, that means run at a guy when you're guarding a two-guard especially, you just stay home on your guy and we'll live with, you know, some, you know, a big four shooting an 18-footer. Little things like that that he'll learn, and he wants to be good, and he wants to do it the right way, and he's a hard worker. So those things are all very good for us.
Dave, we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Bye.
All right. That's the Dave Yeager Show. The Dave Yeager Show is brought to you by Petkus Brothers. We'll come back and get your phone calls right after this. All right. We got some phone calls to get to. Don't forget Ken Korak, the voice of the A's at 5:05 as they start their season tonight against the Angels in Oakland. Let's get to Sam. Hello, Sam.
Hi, Grant.
Hey,
hi,
Sam.
Doug.
What's up?
What's up, Sam?
I'm a longtime listener, a longtime fan of the Kings. I have to call about what you're talking about as far as tanking or not tanking. And kind of my thoughts are, you know, we've watched this team for maybe the past, because it feels like 20 years now, and I feel like we haven't been competitive late in the season. Maybe we try to tank, or we've, you know, had top 10 picks in the draft, and we've kind of fallen short.
How do you define tanking? You know, I guess we need to start there, because I think that a lot of people have a different definition of tanking. How do you define that?
Well, I guess you could say what Sam Hinkie did with the Sixers and his philosophy.
How's that worked out?
Yeah, exactly. My thought is, you know, even with all the picks they have, and, you know, we had to still see what they have with Ben Simmons and all them. But, you know, even with injuries, they've really ended up in the same spot. I mean, you look at the order, they're right there with us. And I would like to see some consistency, keep the same coach and GM maybe. Would be a good start.
I agree.
And just kind of keep the same chemistry and same the feel to this team. I like seeing how they're playing. I like how they're playing as a squad, Buddy Hield, Gal, all of them. But, you know, draft picks are not, you know, you see teams that have, you know, the pick later on in the first round, and they're just as good, if not better, as the years go on because they have that culture. So I agree with you guys. I just enjoy watching this season and enjoying baseball.
Yeah, hey, and you know what? One of those players I think is going to be someone that you're going to call up in a year or two and talk about when the Kings drafted Scal Labissiere at the end of the first round.
I agree. You know, what's one more thing? I feel like this move with DeMarcus Cousins has been coming for a while, even back to Willie Collins' time when he was drafted.
No question.
And he's kind of preparing for his possible departure, and I feel like we're in a good path, and I hope maybe Ryan Dive is listening in. Vivek, I love you, man, but I hope we can keep some consistency rather than trying to revamp everything and trying to be the Warriors.
All right. Well, listen, thanks for the call. Let's get to Mitch. Hello, Mitch.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, I just barely caught bits and pieces. I want to know the specifics about what teams that we're kind of watching to see them either win or lose to help the Kings in their draft pick positions. I remember something about the 76ers, and I apologize, but can you fill us in on what we're watching?
On the
draft picks.
Yes. Well, what part don't you understand, and I'll explain it to you.
76ers.
Okay, so there's something about one of the teams, like the 76ers, they win or lose, it helps the Kings pick up another draft person.
Here's the deal.
I'm
going to keep this real simple. The records of the teams make no difference. It's how you end up in the lottery. However, your record determines your percentages.
May 16th.
Right. On May 16th, your record determines the percentage of getting one of the top three picks. The worst record.
Right, I get that, but there was something additional about the Kings can pick up another top 10 pick, and I thought it was around the 76ers, depending on what they do.
The Kings will have, in almost certainty, two top 10 picks. One, which is New Orleans, which is top three protected. The chances of them getting into the top three would be a very few percent, so it's very unlikely. Uh-huh. And then they get. Philadelphia and the Kings, all Philadelphia has a right to do is take Sacramento's pick for their own pick. So let's just say at the end of the ping pong balls, hypothetically, let's say the Kings end up fourth and Philadelphia ends up fifth after the ping pong balls. Okay. Then Philadelphia can say, we want the Kings pick at four. That's the only thing they can do.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Gotcha. Okay.
All right.
So we're just simply – so let me – the other question I would have is, personally, I feel like there's great value in this winning culture that we're kind of seeing.
Yes.
Do we really care about losing that more games versus the winning culture?
Well, you want to try to solidify that, but the culture, I would agree with you. It's paramount, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to build up confidence in these guys and a belief, obviously, in the coaching staff. And I think that you're starting to see that. The players are trusting what the coaches are saying, and what Coach Yeager is doing is working, because when you go out and you play against a young team like Minnesota and they play all their guys and they're trying to win and you still can't beat a Kings team, I think that says a lot about the culture.
All right. We'll continue on this. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
It's 4:35. Time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
Hey, I want to tell you that you can win $1,000 with the 10K a day giveaway at the top of the hour between 6 a.m. and 3 p.m. Listeners can text the code word to 80787 and win $1,000. Now, this is a national contest, and we cannot attempt to make listeners believe it is local only. We also must refer to the contest as the 10K a day giveaway, or reference KHTK is giving you 10 chances each weekday to win $1,000. So just so you know, Doug, we cannot say the KHTK 10K a day giveaway. More info at KHTK.com.
You just said it.
I know.
So, but you can't say it?
I'm just reading what I was given. It's a national contest. It is not just local, and I wanted everyone, because I am not going to go on the air and be deceitful. So I'm letting everyone know that.
So you're not going to say what you just said?
I'm just being honest.
Okay. Touche, Napes.
I didn't say it was the KHDK 10K a day giveaway. I called it the 10K a day giveaway. Big difference.
Big difference. You're something else, man.
No,
I don't. Whatever you're thinking, don't do it.
All right. I'm just trying to be transparent.
Hey, you know what? Patrick Ewing, new head coach of Georgetown
Hoyas.
I'm
very happy for Patrick. I got to tell you, I know a couple of people.
Yeah.
That have interviewed him for head coaching jobs.
Okay.
And
in the NBA.
In the NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have all told me he had a phenomenal interview, and on one particular individual was second
really
on the list. And I think he's going to do a really good job. Now, college, it's about recruiting.
Yes, it is.
But I think Patrick Ewing will do a phenomenal job at Georgetown.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely put in his dues in the NBA. He's in to finally say, okay, maybe I'm not going to get this right now. I'm going to go here. And I just, to go back, the Beast of the East, the original guy that started it all, will help start it all. I'm just so, so excited for him, man.
Patrick Ewing has waited a long time. He's been a long-time assistant, and I'm really happy. I like Patrick.
Yeah, and, you know, going back to where it all started at Georgetown for him, under John Thompson and that whole Carnesecca and the Big East, it's not what it was, but for him to go back, hopefully the recruiting takes place and he's able to put a product out on the floor that Georgetown can be happy for. Because as a kid, I told you, I went to his Final Four, and he was one of him and Hakeem, two of my favorites.
All right. Again, if you want to call in on the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We're going to have A's baseball coming up for you at 6:30. We'll get you out to the Coliseum. And joining us will be Ken Korak. He is the voice of the Oakland A's. Ken will be joining us at 5:05. Love talking to Ken. Very much looking forward to seeing him during the year when I get out to the games. And, again, Ken Korak. You know, he also is from Vegas, so we'll ask him a little bit what he thinks about hockey and the NFL going there.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to hear the mayor of Vegas talk about the fact that, you know, maybe baseball, maybe basketball.
I don't see that.
And you don't see it at all, huh? I mean, now, now tell me this, Grant. Do you see it if hockey does what they're thinking and football does what they're thinking and sets the table for successful professional franchises in Las Vegas? Do you give it more of a possibility then?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm still I don't – first of all, I'm looking at the size of the market, which is one thing. I get that.
Gotcha.
I'm not an expert on – Vegas, other than it's the gambling mecca of the country and one of the gambling meccas of the world, I get that. I don't know if there's enough corporate dollars to support Major League Baseball, the NFL, hockey, and either basketball or soccer. I don't know if there's enough corporations that are willing to take their money and say, okay, we're gonna put our name on the outside of your venue, or all right, we'll be one of your TV sponsors. Well, you know, we want to be your TV sponsor, but, you know, I'm already committed to the Golden Knights and the Raiders. I know you got Major League Baseball, but I don't have the money left in my advertising budget. I mean, my point is, those are the things you're dealing with.
So is this even a possibility? Does this get dicey when all of a sudden they go to Mr. Wynn and say, hey, do you want the Wynn Coliseum down here? I mean, is
but it's got to make sense for Steve Wynn. He makes his money on building mega hotel casino resorts. That's how he makes his money. If you're Steve Wynn, he's a businessman. He got to be filthy rich by doing what he does. You got to be able to convince him that he's going to get a return on his money. Everybody already knows who Steve Wynn is. So if you're Steve Wynn, does it really help you to put your name on the outside of a stadium? I'm just asking.
Well, you know, hey, Steve, give me a call because we can talk about this, I'm sure. But the Sky Dome has a hotel and baseball for the Blue Jays in Toronto. So I'm just saying you might be able to do something, think outside the box, and you put something together. I don't know if an NBA team or NHL would want gambling in the bottom of their building.
No,
I don't know that.
They would not, but you know what? We were just in Phoenix, and we were at Talking Stick Casino Resort Arena.
Right.
All right. They have their name on the outside of the building in Phoenix, which is NBA. NBA didn't have a problem with that. And if you want to go out to Talking Stick, which I've never been there, you can gamble. You can eat at fine restaurants. You can do a lot of things out there. And the NBA had no problem with them putting their name on the outside of an arena.
Could Vegas be different in the standpoint, Grant, that corporate money is one thing, but Vegas gambling corporate money could be a different animal in and amongst itself because of the fact that that's what they're there for, is to make money. Corporate money like IBM and all of those, that's a different animal as opposed to maybe what is in Vegas. Is that possible?
Yeah, again, I don't know. I'm not an expert on Vegas.
Yeah,
I don't know other than, I mean, people go to Vegas to gamble, to go to shows, and have fun.
Right.
Okay? They don't necessarily go to Vegas to go to games. But then again, there really haven't been a lot of options. Now, when the NBA Summer League goes there, they have phenomenal attendance. And they got people coming and going and coming and going. But I personally don't think there's any issue with having a hockey team and a football team because the football team only has 8 games a year.
Right.
Hockey, you've got 41. I really wonder, I'm very skeptical about whether they could have hockey and the NBA and the NFL.
My expert on Vegas. Scott Pollard, where are you when I need you, my friend?
He was just in Vegas last week.
I know it. It was a little fiasco down
there.
Yes,
well, it wasn't his fiasco.
No, it was not.
But I don't want Scott to get in trouble.
I would never do that, Scotty.
But, so I guess what I'm saying to you is I heard what the mayor said, and the mayor certainly knows her city a lot more than I do. I'm skeptical if there's enough corporate money in Las Vegas for the luxury suites. All right, so you're a casino operator, right? Let's say you're MGM.
Okay.
You're not an owner of a team.
No, I'm an owner of a casino.
You can give me a free room?
Gotcha.
All right, so here's the deal. You've already been asked to the hockey called and knocked on your door the first time, right?
Right.
NFL's a no-brainer. You have to.
Gotcha.
If Major League Baseball comes in, are you going to say, gee, are people really going to come out to Las Vegas to go to a Major League Baseball game? I don't really think so.
That's a tough one because baseball is a different animal the way it's played, Grant. It's a slower game.
It doesn't have a clock.
It's a more of a, you know,
doesn't have a clock.
Once the playoff starts, I'm all in. I'm watching.
Sure.
You got to be a connoisseur of baseball. Now, you look at basketball, like you just said, you got a clock. There's that excitement factor. There's always your highlight plays going on. That's a good point. I didn't think of baseball that way in infiltrating a market.
Yeah, I mean, do you want your high rollers, you want your clients to be going to a baseball game for 3 hours? You don't know if it's going to end in 3 hours. It may go 2.5, but it may go 4. You know, and I can go on and on. And then here's the other deal. You're talking about another $1 billion-plus dollars to build a baseball facility because you can't play in Vegas without a dome. So you're talking, and again, I'm going to approximate, $1.5 billion for someone to come in and build a baseball stadium. Well, they're not going to be able to raise the tax. They already did that. So who's going to come in with that kind of money to build a baseball stadium? I'm sorry, I don't see it.
Yeah, and, you know, if anybody was going to do that, I would say football would be the people that would do that.
Football would.
And they didn't.
That's right.
They went and they got it in a different way. So you raised some
I, you know, my buddy George McPhee, who's the GM of the Golden Knights, I talked to him 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I said, hey, just curious, how are everything going? He goes, hey, our season tickets are through the roof. Our sponsorships are great. Everything is good. And I said, really? He goes, let me tell you. He goes, this is going to be a real big success here. He goes, I'm very optimistic about how everything's looking.
Well, she mentioned the fact, and I would say the Americans sell it. Boy, she was selling it.
Oh, yeah.
But she mentioned the fact about a big Canadian population. But I will say this, whether it is or not, once you go to a hockey game, Grant, you got a different understanding of entertainment as far as what you might think about hockey. It is extremely fast. It's bright. It's moving.
Yep.
It is football on ice. And it, if you haven't been, go see. It's must-see stuff.
You know, it's and they're not going to be very good for a while. I mean, they're an expansion team. They're going to have the expansion draft. And then they can sign free agents. And, again, I know George very well. I went to college with him. He's one of my very best friends. He has told me for years, even when he was the general manager of the Capitals, and they had a lot of success, and he said, you know, he goes, man, I would just love to start from scratch one day and build it up from the ground. And I go, really? And so when he got the job in Las Vegas, I was like, you must be like, and he goes, he says, you know what? It's exactly what I've always wanted to do. And now I have it, and it's on me. He goes, you know, I can't blame anyone else. It's I'm the one that's going to make the trades, and I'm going to make the drafts, and it's on me. So I like that. He wants that.
That's gotta be incredible. Similar to what Vlade's doing. I mean, you get the ability to look and build a culture and pick your players and watch them flourish. So I know.
But Vlade inherited a lot of stuff that
this
he didn't want.
That he has to
George
watch.
George isn't
away.
Inheriting anything he doesn't want. If there's such a thing as a fresh clean slate in sports, that's what he's got. You saw the video of George Young playing hockey, right?
Do you call him Georgie? A guy?
I do call him Georgie.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, I call him McFly.
Really?
Do you know that
guy
when,
who throws
well, what
his
happened
fist
is
like
when
that?
George played for the New York Rangers, the Back to the Future movie came out.
Yes.
And George McFly. So George had the instant nickname McFly. So the rest of his career, he was McFly.
It's McPhee,
no, really.
Right?
George McPhee.
But McFly.
He told me, no, what?
Georgie McFly. I love it.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is awesome.
Is that a classic?
It is. Right away. Immediately. Thank you, Back to the Future. I know that's what he says every day.
He told me, what was the star of the movie, the one who has Parkinson's disease now? God, I'm sorry. I'm having a... Yeah, Michael J. Fox came into the Rangers locker room after a game once. And the captain of the Rangers grabbed him and said, hey, I want to introduce you to George McFly. And Michael, he said, Michael Fox was just laughing, dying. Everyone goes, hey, McFly, go ahead, man. Go up and hang out with Michael J. Fox. You know, and it was the good stuff.
That is awesome.
Isn't that great?
Man. Yeah. I can't wait to meet him, Grant.
Oh, you will. He's a great guy. Yes. And I was, listen, you always think you know a lot of things that players do in the NBA. There's one story. The Rangers were playing the Washington Capitals in the playoffs, and they beat them. And I was in the locker room after the game. He got me in there. And the captain of the Rangers, his name was Barry Beck, big defenseman number 3. And so I go in there, and his nickname was Bubba. And I'm watching two guys help him get dressed. And I go, so what? When George came out, I go, George, what is going on with Bubba over there? He goes, Napes, he's been playing with a separated shoulder for the last few weeks. He can't dress by himself, can't raise his arm up, but he didn't miss a game.
Rest.
How about that?
Rest.
Can you imagine walking into a hockey player and saying you're not playing? They play no matter. But how about that story?
What?
Is that beautiful or
oh,
what?
Oh, my goodness, man. That is huge.
He goes, but he's just like Napes. He's had this for a couple weeks. This is standard.
Why does every big man got to be named Bubba, man?
I don't know.
Why
but
do
he
they
was.
Do that?
His name is Barry Beck, so they called him Bubba.
Barry Bubba Beck.
Yeah.
All right. Shepherd raised his shoulder. Respect, Barry.
How about that, huh?
Yeah, that's big time. I like it.
So. There are a lot of other great stories I can't share with them on the radio, but we had some good times back then.
Maybe we'll come on, you know, like 12 to 3 in the morning. We could share those stories.
You know, I was in L.A. 2 weeks ago. We were playing the Clippers, maybe even a little more than a week ago, and the Rangers were there. So I went to the Rangers game, and their radio analyst who works with Kenny Albert, his name is Dave Maloney, and Dave Maloney used to be the captain of the Rangers back when George played. So I said, hey, Dave, I go, I know you're not going to remember me. I said, but you know, you remember the pub up in Rye, right? And he goes, yeah, of course. Now the Rangers played in Manhattan. You know this very well from your days with the Knicks, but mm-hmm. their rink was in Rye, New York. That's where they practiced. You know where Rye is.
Yep.
Well, Rye is a cute little town, and there was a bar there called the Pub.
Okay.
And the owner of the bar, his name was Hitch. And so I went, and George was, I think, in either his first or second year with the Rangers, and they just got eliminated by the Flyers. And the game was on a Friday night. So we went out in the city to a bar that was owned by three other Rangers called Sticks. It was right in Midtown Manhattan. The bar, the top of the bar was shaped like the top of a hockey goal. It was very cool. Okay. But anyway, so we ended up in Rye at this place called The Pub. So Hitch is there, and we stayed there literally all night, and we stayed there all through the next day.
What?
And finally, yeah. And so finally, at about Saturday night at 8 o'clock, Hitch goes, man, I got to kick. And the whole team was there, and he goes, I got to kick you guys out. They go, Hitch, you can't kick us out. He goes, I'm going to pass out. I need to have some sleep. I go, Hitch, this is what I said to him. I go, Hitch, I tended bar for 4 years in college. I'll go back there and I'll tend bar. He goes, you're going to give away the bar. I go, Hitch, I promise you, I will not give away the bar. Take me back there. Show me how to work the register. Tell me what your prices are. I give you my word. I will not give away the bar. So I am tending bar for the entire, and Ron Greshner was there with Carol Alt. Carol Alt was one of the supermodels from CoverGirl. That was his wife. So Gresh is sitting there in his jean jacket. I can remember what they're drinking. He's drinking Jack and Coke. Tom Laidlaw, number two starting defenseman, he's drinking Jack and Coke. And a lot of the guys are drinking beer. So anyway, Mike, I remember this like it was yesterday.
You're a great bartender.
So it was great. So I'm charging. So it was about, I don't know, 5 in the morning. Now Sunday.
Day two now?
So Hitch comes in at like 5 in the morning, and like there was the entire bar was completely empty. Like, you know the saying that you drank the bar dry?
Right.
There was nothing. You know how hockey players are.
Keep it going.
Exactly. And Hitch goes, man, get out of here. Everybody get out of here. And you should have heard some of the players, like, I'm not even going to mention a name because I can't. One of the guys who used to play for the Rangers comes in on Saturday night, Sunday morning, about 2 in the morning. He's got his suit ripped. He's got a cut over his eye. His other eye got punched. And we're like, I can't say his name. We're like, whoa, what happened to you? He goes, I had called my wife Friday night when we went out and told her I was kidnapped. And he goes, now I have to go home. So I had a couple of boys take me out in the back and beat the hell out of me. So when I go home, my wife really thinks I was kidnapped. No, I'm not like that. No, that's
well done.
You can't make that up, right?
No, you cannot. Well done.
I mean, you know, this is an era before cell phones, before all that. So, you know, you communicate. But he goes, yeah. He goes, like, I told my wife I was kidnapped on Friday night, and now I got to go home, and I'm going to be in trouble. So I had the boys rough me up in the back. I go, rough you up? I go, they did more than rough you up.
Hey, if you're going to sell it, Napes,
is that,
sell it.
Seriously, is that a classic?
So is Kenny Albert Marv Albert's brother?
Yeah, no, son.
Son.
Steve Albert and Al Albert are Marv's brothers. Man, Kenny is Marv's son.
They got that thing on lockdown,
man. Yeah, yeah. No, Kenny is Marv's son. Kenny Albert used to do stats for Marv Albert at Madison Square Garden when he was 7 years old.
Okay.
No, like when he was a kid, you would see Marv doing the Knicks and the Rangers because he did both on radio.
Right.
And Kenny did stats for him beginning in grade school. Like,
wow.
Kenny Albert grew up doing stats for his dad.
It's a damn shame Marv doesn't do the games. Just disgraceful.
You know what? Thank James Dolan for that.
Yeah, because when you say that, that means this is family, man. Come on, Grant.
James Dolan, the voice of New York Knicks.
Ugh.
Marv Albert.
Yeah.
And James Dolan, like he has done to so many others, got him out of the garden.
Oh, man.
Is that awful?
Kenny Albert, I'm thinking his brother. That's his son?
That's Marv's son.
Get out of
town.
Well,
Marv is like 72 now.
It doesn't matter.
Kenny is,
he's still silky smooth
with
the delivery.
But isn't that something?
That is something else, man. Oh, goodness. It is 4:53, time for Hot Tubs of Sacramento's 2017 Spring Blowout Sale. HotTubsOfSacramento.com.
And by the way, I did not give away the bar. I actually did a good job. But I got to tell you, I'm really relatively young back then. I'm working in the middle of nowhere for like a few dollars. You know, I'm making like $6,000 a year. So like I drove all the way to New York to go to the playoff games. I had no money. And I did a really good job. But the fact is, I was a diehard Rangers fan and had grown up watching a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
And to be sitting there tending bar for them was like the greatest, was the coolest thing in the world.
So let me just let you in on a little secret, Grant. You did give away the bar because I'm sure their drinks were not light. If there was two fingers,
you know what my attitude
gave them
was?
Three.
I'm sitting there. These guys are all extremely wealthy. They can afford, you know, their $3.75 for their Jack and Coke.
$3.75.
So I ring it up. And, you know, it was a cash register. You had to hit the three. You know, it was like cha-ching, cha-ching, you know, ta-ding. And then the door would open. And I go, hey, Hitch, man, I didn't give it away. I said, I may have given away a beer here and a beer there. But, Hitch, and here's your tip jar, Hitch. I'm not taking it. This is for you. He goes, no, you need it. I go, Hitch, I'm not taking a penny. I did this for you. It's all yours.
Man, I wish we had cell phones then because the pictures would have been incredible.
It would have been unbelievable.
I just wanted to see a ripped jacket and a bruised mouth and a little blood and go home and tell the story.
I can't tell you who it was, but it was a classic.
Awesome stuff.
Good stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
And thankfully for me, the boys got a chance to hang out for another night instead of Hitch closing the place down and kicking them out.
And let me tell you, Grant, we are all over in Sacramento right now because I was out today. And everyone was telling me, man, I love you and Grant's stories. You guys telling stories and just having a great time. So all you people out there listening.
Can't make that up.
No doubt.
No, it's good stuff. All right. So Ken Korak, he is the voice of the Oakland A's. He'll be joining us next as the A's start the season tonight right here on Sports 1140 KHDK against the Angels. That's next.